That's not going to stop me from doing this.
Amen.
You know, God always gets the victory if there's enough prayer. And, I mean, because if you don't pray, it's almost like you don't care or you don't think God can get it done. But we had a ton of people praying for me, and I appreciate that. I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 today, Ephesians chapter 4. I have a short message. I'll probably be done by about 4:30. So, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone that came out this morning, Lord. I ask that you'll be with me this morning, that you'll help me to deliver this message exactly the way you want me to, Lord. And I pray for everyone here that we'll all have receptive hearts, Lord, and that we'll all take something away from this, Lord. Just help me today. I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the first part of Ephesians chapter 4, I didn't read all of it, but Paul's talking about walking in unity with the Spirit, walking as one with God. And then you look in verse 17, he says, "This I say, therefore," which is therefore is what he was talking about walking, keeping unity with the Spirit. "And testify to the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." So he's saying, if you want to walk in unity with the Spirit, then you have to walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now, if we are truly saved, now that's a big if. And by truly saved, I mean in a daily relationship with Christ, because that's what salvation is. It's not something where you meet God one time and it's this huge event and then you visit him on Sunday mornings. No, you should be interacting with God daily. And that doesn't mean you have to renew your relationship daily, but it should be a close relationship. Now, if you are truly saved, then the Bible says that we've been transformed into new creatures. So if you take, let's say, a dog and like a spider, and you get them walking beside each other, they walk a little bit differently. You know, they don't walk the same. Why? Because they're two different creatures. If we're made new creatures, then we shouldn't walk as the rest of the world. Okay, we should have our own distinct walk. So Paul says we should walk not as the other Gentiles, and then he goes on and lists how they walk. The first thing he says is in the vanity of their mind. And now that word vanity could be translated to the word futility, really, which means almost like pointlessly. So he's saying, in the futility of their mind, almost saying like mindlessly, like their thoughts are pointless. So when you think about it, the world is pretty mindless. I don't really have to tell you that. Look around. Some people just don't think, you know. I mean, I'm not saying, like, they're just doing stuff that's really stupid. A lot of people are. I'm saying, like, they're just doing stuff that's pointless, and they're not really thinking about it, like, how is this going to benefit me? Like, what's the point in doing this? They don't think. And they won't think for themselves, because they're afraid of what everyone else is going to think. So they just follow everybody else. And then that's why we have like one or two people doing something. They start something up that's just really stupid, and then you have a ton of people following that. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, they just don't think. We as Christians, we can't follow that. We need to have some common sense, okay? You just not worry about what the world thinks about you. You do what you know is right and what just makes sense to do, you know? Some of the stuff that used to be normal isn't normal anymore because people just don't do it. So just think a little bit. It might separate you from the crowd. In the vanity of their mind, the next thing he says in verse 18 is having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So the world is alienated. They're alienated from the life of God. And all of us have been alienated from the life of God, at least at some point. I mean, when you get saved, that's when you come to know God. That's when you get to be a part of the life of God. But if you're not, you're alienated. You're completely separated from God. You're not a part of that, you know. You're an alien. You don't know what that is. They says they're ignorant to that. You know, if you are an alien to this country, if you're not a citizen, it's pretty hard to become a citizen. There's a process you have to go through to get it, just to get into this country to be a citizen of that. But this is worse. Being alienated from the life of God. I mean, you don't know what that's like until it happens. I mean, if you do get truly saved, like I said earlier, then you should feel this. You should feel this life of God, and it'll feel good, and you should want that, and then you should not want to go back. I couldn't imagine that. It would be terrible. But people aren't truly saved. And maybe some of you don't know what that's like. Because us and God, we're alienated because of ignorance. That's what he says. And there's really no excuse to be ignorant because God has revealed himself through this. I mean, if you really want to find out, you can. Okay? Just read the Bible. Read the Gospels. They're alienated through the ignorance, which is terrible. Some people just are never going to find out what that's like. It says, because of the blindness of their hearts. Their hearts are blind to that. Look, there's a big gap between us and God from the start. It's called sin, okay? God sacrificed his son just to give us a bridge to get to God, which we didn't deserve because we're the ones that sinned in the first place, okay? We did it to ourselves, but he gave us his son to give us a second chance to save us from that. And there's so many people that still reject that because their hearts are blind, which is really terrible. But you guys, I'm not going to say you guys because I don't know every single one of you, but if you are truly saved, like I said before, if you really do have a relationship with God, if you don't, then you need to get that straightened out, okay? I mean, if you really want to, you can, okay? But if you are, if you are truly saved, then you know what the life of God is like, and you should act like it, okay? People should tell, like the other Gentiles, as he's talking about, the world should tell that there's something different about you. You shouldn't walk like them. He's not talking about our physical walk. He's talking about our spiritual walk, our walk with God. In our Sunday school class, when we're doing prayer requests, some of the first things that people say is their walk with God. This is what I'm talking about. And that's important. A lot of people don't have a walk with God, which that's a problem. But if you do, you should walk close to God. You should try to be as close to God as possible. And you should walk different. That's the big thing. You should walk different than everybody else because you are different. People should know. People should see that there's something different about you to the point where they might even ask you about it. And then you could tell them, well, I have the life of God in me. I have God living in me. If you have God, which is so big and mighty, if you have him living in you, he should be shining out in every way. We should act like Christians because as soon as somebody finds out that you are a Christian, they're going to look for you to act like it. And if you don't, they're going to point it out. And there's plenty of people out there there's plenty of good people out there, I guess, if you want to say anybody's good. There's plenty of, like, nice people out there that don't have anything to do with God. And there might even be people out there that are nicer than you, but they don't have anything to do with God. We need to have a huge difference. We need to be like, if we get on fire for God, which we can because we have the life of God in us, if we are truly saved, then there needs to be a big difference. And we need to make it evident. We need to prove that. So don't walk like you're alienated from God, okay? So, he tells us how not to walk. Now I want to look at how we should walk, okay? Now I want to ask you a question real quick. What are your standards for your life? Like, I'm not saying what's right and what's wrong. I'm saying, like, how much sin is too much sin for you? What is that for you and your family? Okay? Think about that. You know what God expects from us? God expects perfection from everybody. You know? You say God can't expect perfection because he made us sinners. No, he didn't make us sinners. He made man to be perfect. Okay? But he told Adam and Eve, you can eat any fruit in the garden except for that one. And they failed him. So now, it fell onto all of us. We're all sinners now. We all failed God. He still expects us to be perfect. Why would he expect anything less? Look, the world is far from perfect. We shouldn't look to the world for anything, okay? And we tend to compare ourselves to the world all the time. Say, look at what these people are doing, you know? Man, I'm such a great person. Look at what everyone else is doing, going out and killing people. I mean, people are just crazy. Turn on the news. But I haven't done any of that. I'm such a great person, you know? Not in God's eyes, because God expects you to be perfect. We've all failed God. So, of course, the only way to get back to God is through his son. So, we need to, look, you want all the keys to eternal life, to eternal joy, hope, all this stuff. God has it right here. He made it as he sent his son just to make it as easy as possible for us to get all that stuff just with a relationship with him. And people still turn that down because they just reject it. They go off and look. That's what most people are looking for, right, when you think about it. I mean, eternal life, I'm sure a lot of people want that. I don't know. But when you think about it, what everyone really wants is to be happy, or they think they want to be happy. They think they want happiness. Really, what they need, it's a lot better than happiness, is joy, because joy doesn't end. If you have God, you have joy in you all the time. Even if you might be sad about something, but you still have that joy of God in you. It doesn't leave you. He has all of that, and he wants to give it to you. He wants you to take it. God wants you to take it just with that relationship with him. But so many people say, no, that's not what I'm doing. That's not the way. I'm not doing that. And they go out and they look for all these other things in life that they think will give them what they want. And they all, none of them works. I don't know anybody that's been alive that's living forever, you know? I mean, they are, just not here. See, that's what a lot of people think. They want to stay on this world. They want to live a long time. They want to have a bunch of fun. They just want to be happy. But they don't think Jesus is what's going to make them. They don't think Jesus is going to give them that, because a lot of people look at God as someone that doesn't want you to have fun, because you know why? What most people see as fun is sin. Sin makes a lot of people happy, okay? But it's only temporary happiness. If you have that relationship with Jesus that I talked about earlier, then you have joy. You should have some joy in your heart, which lasts forever. Okay? I don't really know how I got to that. I'm talking about walking, not as the other Gentiles, but if you should have some joy, and you should show it. There's a lot of Christians that don't really look like they have joy in their heart, you know? They just... No, you should be excited about it. You should be excited about God, about what he's given us. You know, he's blessed us so much. It's unbelievable how much God has blessed us, and we should be excited about it. We should run out these doors and jump up and down so the cars driving by know that there's something going on in this church, okay? We should make a difference. We've been living quiet for a long time. We need a change. We need a spark. We need a revival. And I'm not talking about just like coming here every night, you know, doing the same thing. I'm saying we need to get on fire for the Lord. And by that, I mean showing that we have the life of God and that we have this joy inside of us and that we're different from them. We don't walk the same as them. We are different creatures. And we should show them that so then they want it too. You know, what's our main purpose on earth? Yeah, and you know what glorifies God, I think, more than anything else? Somebody coming to Christ. Amen. And if we can show the world what salvation is really like and what really comes with all that, then I don't see how they can turn it down. I know people still do, but why? It's because their hearts are blind. They don't see it. So we need to show them that, and I think the best way to do that is show them that we're different. Show them that we're different creatures, okay? So we shouldn't, if we just walk like everybody else, why would someone get saved? Why do they think they should do it? What good does that do? That got a little off on a different path, but so God expects us to be perfect, okay? We know we can't do it in the flesh. I mean, I'm sure if we have God inside of us, so I'm sure we could come pretty close, and we should strive to be perfect. We should strive to be perfect. We should try as much as possible, even though, I mean, that's not going to happen. But I mean, we're not going to be completely perfect. We're going to screw up every now and then because we're humans. But we need to try to be perfect. You know why? Because it gives us a good testimony, you know? If everyone else you work with or you see, if they know you're a Christian, then they're gonna look for you to be perfect. And you should try to be. Also, let me say this. Do you know why Jesus came to this earth? Like, why? I know he had to die for our sins and all that, but like, why he came and lived for 33 years instead of just coming and then dying? You know why he lived for 33 years? Well, one, because he had to live. I mean, he had to live a perfect life and be the perfect lamb to die for us, but also to give us an example of how we should live. We should try to be like Jesus. The closer we act like Jesus, then the closer we're going to get to Jesus. Right? So we should strive to be like Jesus as much as possible. I really got away from this, but if we're trying to be perfect, if we're trying to be more like Jesus every day, then we're getting closer to him, okay? And we need to try to get closer to him every day. We can't be stagnant. You can't stay the same period if you're trying if you're not trying to move forward, then you're probably going to be moving backwards, okay? Because you're not getting any closer to him. So you should try to be more like God. And then also walk differently, not only in your acts, but in your attitude. Have a positive attitude. Try to be, just be optimistic about stuff, you know? I mean, the better attitude you have, the better it's good. You're going to have, like, a better mindset, and you're going to be just happier. You're not going to be, if you're negative about everything, I mean, even some things, I mean, I don't know, I just, I guess what I'm saying is, just look at everything the best way possible. Don't come in, if you come in to like your work or something like that, where everyone knows you're a Christian, and they see you with a bad attitude, complaining about every little thing, they're going to point that out probably, or they're just going to say, no, I don't want to be like that. But if you're coming in every day upbeat and stuff like that, and you're trying to live as perfect as possible, they're going to see something there, and they're going to want to be saved, which is the best thing that could happen to somebody, and it's probably one of the best things that you can do here on earth, the best things you can do to glorify God here on earth. So, walk not as the other Gentiles walk. Just accept that you're a different creature. You don't have to walk like them. You don't have to pretend to be like them because you're not like them. You shouldn't pretend to be like them just to cover up that you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you should be proud of it. You shouldn't want to try to cover that up. I mean, that's great. I mean, I know a lot of people don't have a lot of stuff against Christians and stuff like that, but who cares? Who cares what they think? I think it's a lot more important what God thinks about you than what everybody else thinks about you. So don't try to walk like them. Walk like you are a Christian. Walk like you think you should. Walk, well, maybe not how you think you should. Walk how God wants you to walk. Walk how, like, walk like you're, Also, when I said we should strive to be perfect, we can get closer to God. Also, what was the point in this whole thing? What was the point? Why did Paul say we should walk not as other Gentiles walk? It's so we can keep unity with the Spirit, which is what he's talking about in verses 1 through 16. I didn't read all of that. But saying keeping unity with the Spirit. If we really want to, we can only be as close to God as we try to be. And if you try to be perfect, which is, I mean, the highest you could be, of course, then you're going to be right there with God, and you need to stay like that and constantly get closer, because you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be perfect because if you are perfect, then you don't need God in the first place. So you should try to get closer and closer and closer. Okay? Your whole life. You should spend your whole life trying to get as close to God as possible. William, you can go ahead and come on up. Just the big thing I want you to take away from this, if you didn't get anything else, is if you are truly saved, and I hope you are, then be different, okay? Have a better attitude about stuff, and be different. Let people know it. Let people know you're a Christian, okay? If you're just coming in like, yeah, positive and all of that stuff, and they don't ask what it's about, they're not going to know. Let people know you're a Christian. Tell them about it. Tell them that's why you're like that. That's why you're different. And just, you need to get better in your walk with God. That's all I have.
All right, for our invitation, I'm going to sing Amazing Grace.
Thank you guys for coming this morning. I want to thank the people that helped cook the meal this morning for the kids. We had breakfast this morning. Sorry, I don't think there's any left over. But yeah, I think all the kids did a good job. So yeah, thanks for coming. Cody, how about you pray?